Consumer Watch with Wendy Nolan on East Coast Breakfast.
Hello, Wendy.
Hello, Darren.
So last week's Consumer Watch was all about butter and its shortage, which a lot of bakeries have told me is a real thing. It's a proper, proper, bona fide thing.
A lot of bakeries have told you.
Bakeries and, yes, people who make the donuts and
cupcakes. People who make,
People who make a living from butter.
Yes.
And it's a real,
real
issue.
Are they chasing the specials? I've spoke to someone who does a home industries thing as well, and he was like, but this is terrible. If you think, you consider yourself lucky if you get it under 50 rand for a... For a brick, 500 grand brick,
That's crazy. So thank you for bringing us that story and explaining to us as well, because I didn't know. I didn't know you had
what
a specific
happened?
Cow. Who knew? And and this week you're bringing us bread news?
Well, more by accident than design, I have to say. I just happened to be invited to a bread factory in Cape Town yesterday, and I'm a bit of a, I have a bit of a thing for plant visits. So the country's biggest food company, Tiger Brands, has just spent 350 million rand upgrading its Belleville bakery to make it faster and greener mainly.
So, oh, yes, I heard about this.
Yeah, it's like, it was a big deal. The 47-year-old factory runs 24 hours, 7 days a week, and pre-upgrade it produced 6,000 loaves an hour. Think about that. Mm-hmm. And soon it's going to be doubling that to 12,000 an hour. It's quite a lot of bread pumping out,
Okay, but that is a banter's nightmare.
Yeah, and Cape Town is banter's central. So it's, the factory's obviously not a gluten-free zone either. They have lots of variants. White, best of both, that smooth white bread that's got the fiber that the kids don't notice.
That's what I go for,
Low GI, whole wheat, they've got a health range, but there's no gluten-free. But guess which bread is the best seller?
Plain brown bread.
Well, I thought that, but no, white bread, believe it or not, still dominates. The unhealthiest bread, most refined carb. Yeah, the split between white and brown, says Albany, is around 53% white, 47% brown. And that's despite the fact that white bread costs more. Bearing in mind we're in a recession, white bread costs more because it's more nutritious. Because brown bread, being more nutritious, is VAT-free. So the government's been trying for years to encourage people to buy the more healthy brown bread by making it cheaper, exempt from VAT. But no, white bread is still king, apparently. Having said that, the healthy bread range, Albany's one, is experiencing double-digit growth, especially in the Western Cape, home of the country's most health-conscious consumers. So... here's my Durban angle. The Belleville Bakery serves only the Western Cape people, right? Mm-hmm. We get our Albany bread from the company's Maritzburg plant, and I met their manager yesterday. Mm-hmm. Get this. Whereas the Belleville Bakery uses all homegrown wheat, mainly from the Malmesbury area, and the Free State farmers produce just enough wheat for that province and Gauteng, the bread that we eat here in KZN is made mostly from imported wheat.
Imported wheat?
Yes. That really surprised me. Did you know that?
No. But where are we importing the wheat from?
Okay, so I did ask that. Australia, Argentina, and Canada, depending on supplies.
What?
So, if the butter shortage intensifies and diehard butter fans end up having to buy butter imported from Ireland or New Zealand or wherever, a simple slice of buttered toast ends up being quite an international affair.
Who knew?
You knew. Quite sad, really, if you think about it.
Yeah.
So, coming up after the break, Darren. This is a separate part two. What on earth is going on with the municipality's orange bag recycling project?
All right, with Wendy Nola, coming up.
Consumer Watch with Wendy Nola on East Coast Breakfast.
So Wendy, from bagged sliced bread to recycling bags.
Yes, well, as regular Consumer Watch listeners will know, I'm passionate about recycling, as are a growing number of consumers, thankfully. And Itigwene Municipality has been quite a trailblazer in getting consumers to avoid clogging our landfills with things that can be recycled. The ultimate aim is zero stuff to landfill. We can be recycling everything.
Yeah.
So we got the orange bags free for paper, cardboard, plastics, juice cartons, polystyrene, and then later... more recently, the very nifty, thick, clear, drawstringed bags for glass and cans. Right, so, but for a very long time, I haven't been getting deliveries of those orange bags in my neighborhood and many others, same story. So I go to collect them from Durban Solid Waste offices in Argyle Road. And when I get there, I'm told I can only have one pack.
Why?
Slightly annoying. Well, when you ask the staff there, they say there's a backlog. Month after month, same story, which doesn't mean a whole lot. So 6 months ago, when I asked Robert Abu, Durban Solid Waste's Deputy Head of Strategic and New Development, what was going on, he said, and I quote, orange bags are being delivered and as they came out of production.
Yeah.
The issuing of one pack per household is only a control measure to ensure that the rest of the residents get their supplies.
Yeah.
Okay. So the company, I found out recently, this last week, what's actually been going on. The company which has the contract to produce the orange bags says that the municipality is reneging on its agreement to increase the price that they pay them per bag, and that the 79 cents per bag that they are currently being paid has them supplying them at a loss. So they are deliberately short producing. Okay? Right. They've asked to be paid 1 rand and 7 cents per bag in order to break even.
Okay.
So I went back to Robert Abu this week, and he acknowledged that the unit had been experiencing challenges, as he put it, with the orange bag supply, and that this had been tabled and discussed at the highest level of city management. In the meantime, he said, all residents are asked to use the smaller clear bags, the ones that are designed for glass and cans, for all the recyclables. So they are delivering those. I've got a few packs. So you don't put everything together. You put the plastic and the cardboard and the paper and everything you used to put in the orange bag into one clear bag, and then you put the glass and the cans into a separate clear bag because they go to a different recycling plant. He says the supply of the clear recycling bags is a short-term intervention, as we don't want to lose the momentum that's been built up.
Mm.
DSW is making plans to get a supply of orange bags. Meanwhile, he says they've been receiving numerous queries, as I can imagine, regarding the short supply of these orange bags, and we continue to assure consumers that we will return to our normal ration and delivery once we've managed to find a permanent solution for the issues surrounding the orange bags. He insisted they are still being delivered, but just not enough of them, and certainly not in my neighborhood.
Mm.
So, in short, he says, the short supply or non-supply of the orange bag is being dealt with at the highest level of city management, and the matter is now being attended to by the city's legal department. So can you believe it? The orange bag embroiled in the whole legal drama.
Man. See, the thing about this, you're supposed to make it easy for people. You're supposed to say, here's your orange bag, recycles go in there, cans and plastic goes into the clear bag, and now you're saying, no, take what you would normally put into the orange, you put that into clear, and then into another small clear, then you put some of your recycle. No, that complicates things for people.
And there's another issue which I'm going to get to.
So where does this leave us with the recycling?
Okay,
effort?
Well,
are the volumes down as far as recycling?
Well, I certainly are in my neighborhood, because I've been making a point of looking out for them on a Monday, which is our collection day.
Mm.
But not just because of the shortage of orange bags, says Robert Abu. He says, and this has been a problem for a while, the illegal collectors, as he calls them, help themselves to paper and plastic out of those orange bags or whatever bags they put in before they can be collected by the people that are mandated to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're ever going to get around that. But there's another issue, as I said, that thick clear bag, Darren.
Mm.
It's a classy, more expensive bag than the orange bag. It's smaller, but the plastic is very thick because it has to hold glass. There's a drawstring.
Mm.
It costs a lot more to make than the orange bags. And they aren't ideal for paper and cardboard and plastic either, because they're smaller.
A little bit small, yeah.
So I had to ask about that, because this whole issue is about money. How are we solving this by using those more expensive bags for everything? Robert Abu wouldn't be drawn on that. But, as I say, if the whole dispute's about money, then that is a little bit ironic that we're using these very expensive bags for everything.
Bag, yeah.
So to be continued, I just wanted to get the word out for those people who are wondering what on earth is going on with orange bags.
All right. As soon as you get more information about this, please let us know.
I will do.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks, Darren.
Catch you next Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Love you, bye.
Bye.